The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
And it's the Laura Show this morning. Our University of Minnesota Extension educator Laura Irish Hansen is in studio with us. Good morning. Thanks for making the trip downtown.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. I took your advice from last time and I pretty much wore pajamas, so it was great.
That's what we do. That is what we do. And I'm really happy about that. So thank you. You got to be comfortable. Now, Laura, I was mentioning to you, and Candace knows this as well, that people are so into this show and are so eager to get their questions answered that they start texting in the 6 a.m. hour to make sure that their questions get answered. So I have taken the liberty of scrolling all the way back through the texts, multiple texts since 6 a.m. because, you know, we've been talking about cars, we've been talking about wine, we've been taking morning questions, like all kinds of stuff. But I just scrolled back to our very first Smart Gardens related question of the day, and it came in 2 hours ago, so 6:08 a.m. I hope this person is still listening. Has to do with raspberry canes. When I cut down my raspberry canes, do I leave the roots in the ground just to decompose over the winter? What should they do?
Absolutely. Whenever we can leave roots in the ground, that's great because it'll help hold the soil in place. It'll also help increase organic matter as those roots break down. So yeah, pretty much anytime, try to leave roots on the plants in the ground, unless you have to redig an area, right, if you're going to plant something new.
Okay. We were talking when I was letting you in the door today, just it's going to be another beautiful day, big, long stretch of sunshine, but we really do need rain right now, right? Like, what can people be doing if their lawns are crispy, if their flowers are dying? I mean, do we just kind of admit defeat at this point and let them go, or can we still save things?
Yeah, so it depends on how far gone perhaps okay. some of the plants might be. If you haven't watered your lawn at all in a lot of parts of the state, I mean, we are in some pretty bad drought. The vast majority of the new drought monitor came out, what was that, on Thursday morning. So lots of really dry areas. If you haven't been watering it, you might have some bare areas where the plants that were in dormancy, a natural summer dormancy, might be dead now.
Mm-hmm.
So once the fall temperatures, the cooling, more cool temperatures come in, you'll see where that turf is maybe still alive and where it isn't. And then you can think about doing some dormant seeding perhaps on that. But I don't want to discourage people. That doesn't mean don't water your lawn or your flower gardens or any of your gardens, because we want to make sure that we are keeping those plants alive. They're doing lots of ecosystem services for us all the time. And I don't want people to be ignoring their mature trees in particular.
Yes.
So we've had so many years of drought and drought stress going on, particularly in late summer into fall. And trees, they hold on to that stress for years. And so the more times they're under those types of stressors, the more likely it is that they'll go in more rapid decline and potentially die. So make sure you're watering those trees, and don't just do like a, I'm out there with my hose and you have a wand, say.
Yeah, tell us how. How do we water trees effectively?
Yeah, and any plants, it's really about giving more water in one go, less often.
Long soak.
Yes. Okay. And so I would really recommend don't just stand there for 5 seconds or 10 seconds and you're not going to be getting the soil very moist. I mean, it's pretty easy if you take a little trowel or a shovel, just stick it in the ground and gently, not a ton, just push it sideways so you can kind of see down. Make sure that soil is getting wet beyond an inch. We want to make sure that it keeps getting moisture lower down because we want roots to actually go deeper into the soil.
Can you talk a little bit about the conundrum that we're in sometimes with watering? Because we know we need to kind of conserve water a little bit too. But our plants, like, how do you just reconcile the need to water things and the need to conserve water?
Yeah. So the best thing you can do is mulch. And particularly in garden beds, we want to make sure that there's not bare soil. So bare soil is going to dry out a lot faster. We'll also lose that soil more to wind, which isn't great, or runoff. So anytime you can put mulch down, that's great for the garden beds. Other things, water really early in the morning.
Yeah.
One of my colleagues was just, we were talking, and he has his timer set to 5 a.m. So he has his sprinkler system set up, not every day, but I think he said every 3 or 4 days, to go off for an hour. So when he gets up in the morning, he can make sure that it's going fine, so he doesn't have to physically go out and water.
If you don't have a sprinkler system, though, it wouldn't hurt to get your butt out of bed and water early, like before the sun comes up even, right?
And most of your neighbors aren't going to see you anyway, so it's
pajama time.
Yeah.
That's right. Awesome. If you have a question for Laura Irish Hansen, our University of Minnesota Extension educator, give us a call, give us a text. We have lots of texts rolling in as usual. And Candace, do we have a caller on the line?
Oh, yeah, we have Ron from Sleepy Eye.
Excellent. Hi, Ron. Good morning. What's your question for Laura?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a, probably a 35-year-old Harrelson apple tree, and it was infested with some large black bugs. I think either carpenter ants or termites. I got the infestation taken care of. But now I still have, there's the wound at the base of the tree. What can I, do I need to dress that wound? And if so, with what?
Yeah, that's a great question. So historically, you may have heard recommendations where we will seal wounds on trees. And that is generally not something we recommend doing anymore, because we can actually trap in more harmful bacteria, fungi, insects, that kind of thing. So it's actually best not to completely seal those wounds for the most part. There are, of course, exceptions, like if you have to prune an oak tree during the growing season. But I usually, what I'm thinking, I wish I could see a photo of this. I'm assuming that's going to be down at the graft union. So apple trees, when we have those very specific cultivars, like you said, you had Harrelson, that's the top of the tree. And then there's a different actual apple tree for the base, for the roots.
What?
Yeah. And it's great. And it helps with the cold hardiness. It helps to keep trees smaller size usually, or sometimes for disease resistance. But if it's an older, older cultivars, that graft union just might be a little weak. And so, if you really love that Harrelson, consider taking some cuttings this winter and then try your hand at grafting. You can order rootstocks online, fairly cheap, and to regenerate a new tree for later.
How tricky is that, starting a tree from scratch with a graft? If you have never done this before, how do you even do it?
Well, you really want a sharp cutting utensil.
You talk about that, like the importance of your tools being very sharp.
Yes, yeah. Sharp and clean.
Okay.
I purchased, when I used to teach plant propagation campus, I purchased some, because grafting knives, I don't want to say there was always blood, but I didn't like doing the paperwork for that. So they have these really cool hand grafters. So it kind of looks like a pair of pruners, but they'll make different types of grafts for you. So it's perfect cuts that, it's pretty much like fitting puzzle pieces together.
Wow.
So, yeah, really fun, really satisfying. So if you want to make a whole bunch of gifts for your family and friends, it's not too difficult. And there's some really great instructions online. I know North Carolina State University has a really good general info on grafting basics.
I might hit you up for an in-person grafting lesson one of these days.
It's fun. I love it.
Yeah,
I would love that.
I can tell. Great. All righty. You're listening to Smart Gardens on CCO. We do have a caller on the line. Candace, who do we have?
Mary from Crystal.
Hi, Mary. Thank you for listening. What's your question for Laura?
My question is about tomatoes. And even though I've been growing them for years, I have a new thing I've never noticed on the bottom. And there's only maybe five at the most in the whole season. Kind of a soft brownish yellow the whole bottom. And when I pick it and cut it off, it's just on that about a quarter of an inch on the bottom. What is this?
Yeah, so that is a really, I'm super jealous that this is the first time it's ever happened to you. This is a very common thing that happens. The phenomenon is called blossom end rot, and it can happen to lettuce, but we don't call it blossom end rot. It's leaf tip burn. So if you ever grow lettuce and the tips of the leaves are kind of a brown color, particularly for head lettuce, it's the same thing. And what it is, it's actually a lack of calcium going to that end of that plant part. So for the tomatoes, peppers, really common, it's going to the end of the fruit. Now, most people's soil, not deficient in calcium. Calcium is something called an immobile nutrient, which means it can only move up and through the plant as the plant transpires, which means loses water through its leaves. So if there's inconsistent soil moisture at any point during fruit development, you can have that blossom end rot start
watering
to form.
Again.
Yep.
Mm.
So consistent soil moisture is really, really beneficial when we're growing those edible produce in particular.
Great. Thank you for the question, Mary. That was a good one and something a lot of us are going through, I think. It's 8:17 on CCO. You're listening to Smart Gardens. It's time to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to the text line. Your texts have been rolling in. We appreciate the calls as well. And if you have a question for Laura Irish Hansen from the University of Minnesota.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. The number is 651-461-9226. Give us a call. Oh, yeah, we're talking about all that good stuff this morning with Laura Irish Hansen. She is a University of Minnesota Extension educator. She has all of your lawn and garden answers this morning, and we do have a lot of questions to get to. First, let's head back to the phones. Candace, who do we have?
Patty.
Not sure.
Patty from St. Paul.
Yes.
Good morning, Patty. Yes. What's your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Laura, I just recently, within the last 2 to 3 weeks, planted two hydrangeas. I'm replacing some arborvitae that I had in my front yard. And I also want to plant another one. Now, just wondering, how late into the season can I...
I'm going to assume that...
Plant them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So hopefully you can hear, but it's totally fine, especially if you're in the cities, if you're in St. Paul. You can still be planting trees, shrubs, perennials for the next few weeks. You just want to keep them watered, particularly going into the winter. We don't want any dry soil going into the winter because that can really damage those roots. Because for the most part, that first year when we plant those plants, the roots are just hanging out in that main root ball that they came in, and it takes them a year or two to actually move out and into the soil around it. So keep them mulched really well. And by really well, I mean the 3-3-3, only 3 inches deep. Pull the mulch 3 inches away from the base of the tree or shrub. And then if you can, put a 3-foot diameter or 3-foot radius.
3-3-3. Okay. I need to remember that too. We're taking your calls and questions for Laura Irish Hansen from University of Minnesota Extension. Laura, I want to get through as many texts as we can here in the next few minutes. So take your time with your answers, but let's see how many we can get in. All righty. My yard has a few areas with many round brown spots. Could this be a disease, and what should I try?
Oh, I wish John was on right now. Mm. So we do have a really great web page, a few web pages on lawn diseases and lawn issues. So I'd highly recommend going and comparing what your lawn looks like to the photos you see. That's on extension.umn.edu. And if you just type in yard or lawn, you'll see all the yard and lawn pages pop up. But it could be so many, I hate to say that, it could be so many different things. It could be a disease. It could be from, if you have a pet, like a dog that's urinating in certain spots all the time. It could be some insect damage. Yeah, really
that website
hard to say.
Will help.
Yeah.
Extension.umn.edu, right?
Yep.
Okay. Another lawn-related question real quick. This person says their lawn has been taken over by weeds. Do you have any tips what they could do with it this fall besides digging up and starting over?
Yeah. So if they are a lot of perennial weeds, like I know, for instance, at my house, I have lots of creeping Charlie and Spurge and all these things that are perennial. So they have a nice, robust root system, and they're going to come back year after year. Actually, dealing with them in the fall is the best time if you are okay with using herbicides or that's something that you're comfortable with doing. It's the best time to do it is in the fall because those plants are going to be pulling energy down from their leaves into those underground structures. And so it'll actually help move that herbicide down and actually kill the root of our problems.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you don't want to do that, you could try to solarize, which is just using a big clear plastic where you cover an entire section, but you really want to leave that for about 6 weeks. So it's a little late for this year to try to solarize to do a refresh. So think about that for next year. It's a non-chemical method to redo a lawn.
Very good. Back to the phones, Candace. Who do we have?
Mary from Sandstone.
Hi, Mary. What's your question?
I have a container garden, and this is my first year I've had it, and I've had very good luck with it. I'm too old to bend over anymore. But I have three tomato plants in there. I have an early girl, which I've been eating off of for 2 weeks, and it's loaded with tomatoes. I have an heirloom because I wanted to try those, and it, too, is loaded with tomatoes. And I have a better boy. It's a beautiful plant, lots of blossoms, and then the blossoms die, dry up, and fall off. I have no tomatoes on it, and it's a beautiful plant.
Yeah. What's happening?
So I love that you know exactly what cultivars you have growing because that really helps. And it helps describe this exact phenomenon that could happen. So some varieties are better suited to handling higher temperatures. So I'm not exactly sure what the threshold is for better boy or big. I can't remember if you said better boy or bigger boy. There's a whole bunch of something boys.
Bushel boy?
Yeah, there's a bunch. But some of the flowers will actually abort or fall off in too high of heat. And so the last few weeks and a lot of, well, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we had super high temperatures. And that can cause those flowers to actually just fall off or not actually form any fruit. So that can be cultivar or variety specific.
And they might just be taking a little rest. Is that what you're saying? When it's so hot?
Yep. Yeah. Well, they're mostly just so stressed out. They're like, nope.
Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
Time for a nap. Alrighty, back to the text line. When and what type of fertilizer should I use on my rhubarb, Laura?
Well, rhubarbs are heavy, what we call heavy feeders, which means that they are kind of nitrogen hogs. And so you can fertilize them. I'd recommend doing that. You could do it now, but the plants are, for most of the part of the state, are kind of stressed out. So I would wait until a little later. You could add compost around the bottom if you wanted, or wait until late spring, early summer next year after you're done harvesting from them.
All right. Text from Linda. What do you do with old dirt from the potted plants at the end of the year or from the yard when digging a hole for larger plants?
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully for larger plants, you're not displacing too much of the native soil just because it helps those plants to actually move into that area. But what I do with my old my containers, when I tip them out and do a full refresh, I actually make a compost pile if you can, because that's a good source of browns. So when you're adding all the greens, so, you know, leaves, fruit, scraps from your kitchen, whatever it might be, that is a really good thing to use for the base. So I've also used some of that, depending on the type of potting mix you got or potting soil. Sometimes I'll actually use that to top dress some of my in-ground beds because I have very sandy soil, so I'm constantly trying to just build up organic matter.
Okay, good. One more question, then we need to take a break. This spring, we planted a white spire clump birch tree, which is growing well. We're wondering if it can be pruned this year. We also wonder how much we can prune it in the future to make the tree fuller. Thank you, Bill in Elk River.
Yeah, that's a beautiful birch tree. Mm-hmm. And so you can prune this year if you want. Depends on how large it is. It would be really great if you could send a photo to our Ask a Master Gardener group. It's on our website on extension.umn.edu. Because it depends on how large that tree is that you got in for making those pruning cuts. So I would recommend sending in a photo so you could get a little bit more direct direction for it. But yes, you could prune it this winter if you wanted. But birch are pretty naturally good at, I don't want to say self-pruning, but they do that.
Yeah, good. I was traumatized by a birch tree at one point in my life.
Oh, no.
Had a beautiful tree in my front yard years and years ago. It died, and so did my marriage. So I always associate that birch tree with my first, my only divorce. And I'm not, it was meant to be, it was supposed to happen. It's fine. And I'm friends with my ex-husband, but I just will always remember as the things were going south, so was that birch tree. So whenever I see a birch tree now, I hope it's good and healthy and strong.
And some birch trees are pretty short-lived trees.
Yeah, so, okay, maybe
you know,
that was
just
it.
The way it is.
That's right. All righty, it's 8:30 on CCO. You're listening to Smart Gardens. Our expert today is Laura Irish Hansen with University of Minnesota Extension. Taking your calls and your texts at 651-461-9226. Back in a moment. I'm Laura Oakes, joined by Laura Irish Hansen from University of Minnesota Extension. We're getting back to your questions on our text line, also taking your phone calls at 651-461-9226. Thanks for joining us for Smart Gardens this morning. And I love all of these questions we're getting here, Laura. I want to get back to a few more positive ones after my downer story about dying birch trees and dying marriages. Oh, you guys, really, I'm not that grim. I'm actually a pretty positive person. But let's get back to this text line. All right. How do I tame my raspberries? Help.
Oh, I wish I could send you a photo of what happened to my raspberries.
Oh, what happened?
Because I'm pregnant, everything just kind of got away from me this summer.
That's okay.
And so all the strings broke on all my, like, keeping them up. So they flopped over and now they're rooting in the ground. So I can sympathize with this person. So what you can do, you can actually put on, if you have welding gloves, those are great, you know, or big long leather gloves or long sleeves, long pants. And eye protection. If you can put on little like eye protection, I would do it because if you're like me and you're trying to dig in the plant and then something whips back towards your face, it's not fun.
This is sounding Breaking Bad-ish. I mean, my goodness, big old gloves and eye protection for raspberries.
Yeah. Well, I just don't like getting cut up by all the thorns and
gotcha.
Stuff. So you don't have to do all of that, but I would recommend it. But if you can have another person help you, drop in something like T posts. Those are those metal posts that kind of look like a little T if you looked at them from the top down. Pound those in on maybe 5 foot spacing. And then if you can, use some type of nylon string is better than using jute or cotton, because jute and cotton are, they break very easily. And so you can try to tie them up that way. There's some really good different trellis designs if you want a fancy one. We have those also available. You can see them on our website on the raspberry pages. But my biggest thing is do something simple. Use what you have. Stake them as best as you can. And make sure you get really tall posts, because some raspberries like mine are 7.5 feet tall.
Wow.
Like one single cane. So,
I love that.
Yeah. So you want to get nice big posts when you're doing it.
And raspberries are done now, right?
Mine are refruiting.
Really?
So some of them are fall bearing. Yeah, there's different types of fruit
or
raspberries. So.
I love that. Yeah. My neighbor across the alley has beautiful raspberries that she shares with us, and it's great. All right, back to the phones. Candace, who do we have?
We have Diane from St. Paul.
Excellent. Hi, Diane. What's your question for Laura?
Hi. Glad to have your program available.
Thank you.
My question relates to butternut squash. I have about 4 plants, and they're producing fabulously. I have 10 and 12 inch size squash already, but the vines are running all the way across my garden and my lawn, and they're like 15 feet long and still producing little squash. Is there a point at which those little squash cannot develop enough to be edible, and I could just cut the vine to keep it from going further?
That is when you first said you had 4, I was like, oh my gosh, how big is your garden? Mm-hmm. This is my first thought. So yeah, you can actually start doing that now. For the most part, any new fruit that would start developing, if we have a nice long fall, they might be able to mature. But if we don't have a nice long fall, you know, they're not going to actually hit maturity and get that sugar content that we're looking for in that butternut squash. So, you could start cutting those back, and that'll also help those, the ones you leave to remain, to put more energy into the fruit that are already there.
It is kind of crazy vine season, isn't it, for our veggies?
Oh, yeah, especially if you're watering them.
Yeah, good. Back to the text line. Now, here is a tricky neighbor-related question, Laura. I know you're good at these. To control thistles, what is a constructive way to point out to a neighbor to stop feeding the birds? The bird seeds are whole, resulting in thriving weeds. That's It's tough. That is tough.
I'm not a social scientist. I think I've said that before. Or a sociologist, any of those things. So if it is actually thistles that are going to seed, there are some that are on the noxious weed list for Minnesota. So we do want to make sure that we're not letting those go to flower, even though pollinators like them and birds like them. So we want to at least make sure that you're cutting the flowers off and trying to stop those plants. So you could just gently tell your neighbor, like, hey, if you know for sure what thistle it is, say like, hey, you know, we're actually not supposed to have this, you know, it's competes with other plants for habitat. But other things feeding the neighbors that feed the birds and squirrels and raccoons and turkeys and etc. It is, because some people get such joy from watching it. But now isn't really the season to be feeding them, because there's so much natural food sources.
True. So yeah, you don't need to be filling up your feeders in the middle of summer, right?
Yep. Yeah. But it, again, it's touchy. It depends on your relationship with your neighbor. So I have never told my neighbors to stop, even though I find bread and peanuts in my windowsills.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it's just, wow. It brings them joy, and I just clean up food.
It's just one of those where you just let it go. Yeah. Or you use Mel Robbins' let them theory. Just let them, and you'll be much more peaceful of a person. All righty. I planted Minnesota hardy mums last year. Should I cut those back in the fall after they bloom? This year, when they came back, they're very tall and spindly and don't look the best.
Oh, I'm surprised that they... Sorry. I also have some Minnesota hardy mums.
Yeah.
And typically, they die back to the ground for the most part. You might have a couple pretty low down, like a couple stems if you mulched them or covered them or there was a nice snowpack. But for the most part, they're going to come back from the ground. If they're getting leggy, it makes me think that they're really crowded with other plants. So during the growing season, they're not getting a lot of sunlight. So the plants might get a little more floppy. You can prune them in the fall. They don't have very thick diameter stems, but there is new research that we used to say that don't clean up your garden, right, for the pollinators, for stem nesting insects. But researchers came out of North Carolina last year that shows that we actually, they don't see stem nesting insects in first year old or 1 year old stems of our herbaceous perennials. And likely it's because there's no wound or entrance for those insects.
Oh.
So actually in Minnesota, we're now recommending, if you can, for those newer stems, you can trim them back to about 2 feet. So those stem nesting insects can still get into those stems. So you could try pruning your mums back that way.
I am fascinated that there are researchers who are studying things like that, including you.
I know. Well, I mean, I love it. If I had more time, I would be doing so many projects.
I think that's so cool. All righty. Back to the text line. What is the best way to get rid of black ants from mature maple trees?
I am not an entomologist. I would actually call and talk to a pest company would be the best thing, because sometimes it's okay and they're not actually causing damage. Sometimes if they're not just regular black ants, that might be a sign that tree is in decline. So even calling maybe an arborist might be helpful to diagnose if potentially you need to be thinking about removing that tree in the short or long term.
All righty. German ivy in a pot on a stand in full sun is yellowing with some brown leaves. The new growth looks great. Is this normal?
Sounds like a nutrient deficiency or a stressor from earlier. So if that pot dried out a little bit too much a month or so ago, maybe, you'll see that those older leaves might be drying and dropping off. If it's a really dense, full plant, that is just natural. The older leaves will generally just start dying off from overcrowding and age.
Is it super bad to be an inconsistent waterer? Because I know I fall into that category. That's a problem, isn't it?
It's not that it's super bad. It's just what you want out of your garden. So, you know, if it's okay and you're fine with whatever it looks like, that's perfectly great. I wouldn't say I'm a consistent waterer, other than I'm consistent in making sure I look at my garden. Mm-hmm. And for instance, I haven't watered in quite a few days with my containers. And I can tell you right now, tonight I will be watering for a very long time.
Yeah, me too.
And I knew better, but
I go in stretches. Yeah, and it's okay. I mean, I guess it's just depending on what you want them to look like and if you are bothered by a couple of yellow leaves and that kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
All righty. Back to the text line. We do have a caller on the line, Candace. Who do we have?
Our friend Catherine from Blaine.
Oh, Catherine, I was wondering when you were going to call. How are you today?
I'm great. I love you guys. I love you guys. You're my favorite.
Thank
radio
you.
Show.
What is your question for Laura?
Okay, so I bought a hardy hibiscus, and it's beautiful. I was wondering, is there a possibility before I plant it, can I bring it up and put it on my deck for a while before I put it in the ground, or do I need to do that right now?
Yeah, so I also love hardy hibiscus. They're really fun. You can for like a couple more weeks if you're in the southern half of the state. Sorry, I forgot where you said you were from.
Blaine.
Oh, Blaine. Oh, yeah. Blaine. You're in Blaine? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you can definitely for the next couple of weeks, you can keep that in a pot. And then once you do decide to put it in the ground, just make sure you bury it to the same depth. So don't bury it too deep or have it like bumped up. And then make sure you mulch around it and keep it really well watered up until the soil freezes. And so for us, usually in the cities, you know, that might be October, November, it just depends.
All right, good.
I have one more question. Can
Go
I
ahead.
Ask one more question? What side of the house should I put it on? I only have east exposure and I have north exposure. So what would be the best side?
I would do the east side just to give it a little bit more sunlight, particularly earlier and later in the growing season.
Great. Good questions as usual, Catherine. Thank you for calling in. I'm sure we'll hear from you next week. She's one of our regulars. We love her. It's 8:45 on CCO. Lots of questions to get to yet on the text line, including one about using vinegar as weed killer. Another one about crocus bulbs. We'll get to all of those and more with Laura Irish Hansen coming up on CCO.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
848 on CCO. Thanks for joining us on Smart Gardens. If you have a question about your flowers, your garden, your lawn, your trees, whatever you may have, give us a call or a text at 651-461-9226. Our expert today from University of Minnesota Extension is Laura Irish Hansen. And Laura, let's get back to the text line. We teased before the break this vinegar question. Somebody saw on Pinterest that vinegar is a good natural weed killer. Is this true, and will it work on spreading weeds?
So there are actually different types of vinegar. And so it's not typically that general household vinegar that you have, like that white vinegar. But most people unfortunately think that. And so they're just pouring vinegar on the ground or trying to spray it. And what's happening is it is killing the plants, but it harms everything. It's kind of caustic. And it can also end up contributing to building up of salts in the soil. So most people are not doing it in the best way possible. There are some actual horticultural vinegars that are much less frequently seen. But I don't recommend most homeowners to do it because, again, it's very caustic and it can burn your hands and skin. And so not really a recommended thing to do.
Okay, hopefully that answered your question. Just maybe stay away from the vinegar. All righty, what is the best time to plant crocus bulbs? Would that be coming up here in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I love crocus. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love them. And so do the rabbits and squirrels, just as an FYI. So crocus are a spring flowering bulb, for those who don't know. And most of the time, we're going to be planting our spring flowering bulbs about four-ish weeks before the ground freezes. It depends on the species, but you can think 4 to 6 weeks. And for most of us in the state, it's too soon right now. So I would wait a little bit before you plant those. And if you do crocus, buy some hardware cloth. That's the little square metal cloth, not chicken wire. And you can actually lay that flat on the ground after you planted your bulbs. Stake it in with landscape staples, and that can help slow down squirrels from digging up your bulbs.
Could you also do that with tulips?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Every fall, I tell myself I'm going to plant some tulips in our front yard, and I haven't done it yet, but maybe this will be my year.
Do it. It's so fun and whimsical.
I know.
Plant bulbs every fall just because I love them.
I will. You have inspired me. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. Alrighty, back to the text line. My magnolia tree was planted a year ago. In early July, the leaves all turned brown and I cut them off. There's one green branch on the bottom. Any ideas what happened? I was watering regularly.
So I would love, you should take some photos or go up close to it and look at the bark and see if you see any odd shaped bumps on it.
Ooh.
So magnolia scale is an insect that can really quickly take over the trees. They have piercing sucking mouth parts, so they pierce in and then they suck out the sap and everything from
bugs with sucking mouth parts.
There's a lot of them.
Terrible. Yes.
But they can, if you see like a sticky honeydew around the bottom of the magnolia or like a brown sooty mold that starts forming, that's a really good indication you might have scale, and so that can cause the tree to go into decline pretty rapidly. So that's the number one thing that comes to mind for me.
Very good. All right, back to the text line. I heard that if you bury coins by your hydrangeas, they will change color. Have you heard about this?
So hydrangeas, generally for those color changing, to like get the blue hydrangea, it needs acidic soil.
Right.
So coins, to my understanding, I'm not a coinologist. I don't know what the actual word is for those people, but I don't think that they would be releasing enough of anything to drop the pH that much. So usually you're looking at actually dropping the pH with some type of drench.
Gotcha. Moonflowers are really thick and winding within themselves, hoping they will flower even though I planted too many together. What do we think about? What is a moonflower? I have not heard of moonflowers.
Oh, they bloom at night and they're gorgeous.
Ooh.
They're, yeah, generally white, giant. You should look them up. Anybody who's listening, you should look them up.
Are they easy to grow?
Generally.
For me?
Generally. You want to keep them well watered for sure to get them to flower. But yeah, planting anything too close together, those plants can start competing for water in particular right now while we're in this drought period and nutrients. So that doesn't mean to go fertilize a bunch, because if you have too much nitrogen, it'll actually, for most plants, decrease the amount of flowers you're going to see. So you don't want to be over fertilizing either.
All right. I am going to go. I'm looking into moonflowers. That sounds delightful. I'm a moon person. Okay, is there an over-the-counter product that I can spray on my house to mitigate all of the spiders and spider webs? It's been a tough season for spiders. We like our spiders, right? But they can, like, overtake our plants sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. We have some pest people who do home pest things. They'd be really great for this question. So I encourage spiders mostly because they generally are helping to maintain populations of other insects that we don't want. For those coming into your house, I don't have any answers for you. I'm so sorry for something to spray or keep them away. I always just think of Charlotte's Web, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. We have one more pest-related question here, Laura, and this is somebody who has texted in a couple of times about earwigs. Mm. I'm guessing you're going to send them to the Extension website. Earwigs had badly damaged my annual planters and some perennials in the ground. Why and what can I do to prevent this? Again, would you say extension.umn.edu, and there's a pest section where they can look up earwigs and kind of figure this out?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And earwigs aren't typically something that we see that's doing the extensive damage, like slugs, those types of. There's some other insects that might be causing a much larger damage.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, couple more texts before we are done with our Smart Gardens show for today. Thank you, everybody, for chiming in and for your wonderful questions. Okay, Laura, we have, I recently had a company come and place mulch under my mature trees. The owner said 6 inches was the best to deter weeds. Is that too much? Should I remove some of the depth?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Remove it. Bring it down to 3 inches.
That one almost knocked you off your chair.
Oh, it did. That was, that's the kind of stuff that, like, I'm not kidding. I almost want to pull over on the side of the road when I see things like that. Because it can cause roots to actually start growing into the mulch. And then if we have a cold snap that cools down, it can actually hurt the roots. So, yeah. Bring it down to 3 inches.
Why wouldn't a company know not to do that?
There's a lot of things we've learned over time. And so with science, right, and research, we learn new things. And so sometimes, companies might be doing practices that have been what the practices were for many, many decades. And so it's just a slow thing to change, but you can be the change.
Good. I love that. Before we end today's show, Laura, I wanted to bring up the Apple House, which is now open at the Arboretum. Can you tell folks about the Apple House, what they can expect over the next couple of months, actually, right?
Yep. Yeah. So the Apple House is part of the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. So if you've ever been to the Arboretum in Chaska, there's the main Arboretum grounds. But if you keep driving westward instead of turning into the Arboretum and you go, you'll see where the Horticultural Research Center is. That's where you see all, like, the apple trees and whatnot. There is the Apple House, where you can actually purchase apples that were grown on site or from other local Minnesota orchards. They also have fun knickknacks and apple pies. And there's usually like a, I don't want to say, I didn't look this year. I'm sure the donut truck's there because it's very popular.
Apple cider donuts, right? Yeah. It's a sweet little place.
And
I
this
love
is
it.
The last year for that original site, because the new Betty's Apple House should be open next fall.
Yeah,
and
what is that? I was reading about that.
Yeah, so the Betty's Apple House is going to be pretty much the Apple House, but 2.0. So there's going to be educational interpretive signage. They're going to have demonstration orchards right there so people can actually see how apple trees are grown. And it's going to be located really close to the farm at the Arb. So that's like where my office is at the Arboretum. Yeah. So it's a little more food connected for the public. And you don't have to drive as far west on, okay. On the highway.
Awesome. Betty's Apple House, and that's open next year, but this year people can still go to the original Apple House right off of 41.
Yep. So last time if you want some nostalgia for that.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for coming in, Laura. Great answers. Great questions again this morning. I just love this show. We always learn so much and appreciate your expertise.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You got it. It is 8:57 on CCO. Time for those home improvement questions for Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction coming up after ABC News.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.